Time to get the message going. And I want to kick off this morning by doing a shout out for a lot of my family that's in the house with us this morning. So I'm going to, we got now Jack and Janet. They're locals. I think a number of you guys know them. They come on occasion. And so here they are today. Hoorah. If you ever go to Bank of the West, you'll see Janet there in her cubicle. We got Eric and Patty from the Des Moines area. They're up here. And the award that goes to those who came the farthest away is Jeff and Mindy. They get the award from Atlanta area. Lawrenceville still in that area or not? Buford or? Yeah. If that means anything to you, there it is. We just say Atlanta, Georgia. Keeps it simple. But it's great having you guys here. We all rallied over this weekend to do a number of projects over at my mom's place, and we got her done. We got it done. The rain did not deter us. We worked through it, and we got it done. And welcome to all of you guys to Lifehouse Church. We are kicking off a new series entitled Real Life Heroes, and we are covering the life and times of great Christian men and women. We're going to be covering the true stories. These are true-to-life stories of people like George Mueller, Kurt Kuykendall, Brother Andrew, Corrie ten Boom, and many others. And guys, if any of these names are like, I had never heard that name before in my God-given life, well, that is one of the reasons why we are doing this series, is because there have been so many notable men and women who have gone before us, and we don't know them. Their stories are not being shared. They're going to be shared here. Guys, we stand on the shoulders of men and women who have sacrificed their lives for the cause of Christ. It was their love and their devotion to Jesus Christ and the people that he died for that has changed the world. And the fact that we're losing ground may be in part because we have lost the memory of those great men and women of faith, and we are no longer inspired to follow their example. Well, we're going to change that here. That's not going to happen with Lifehouse Church, people. We are going to meet these people, learn their stories, and glean from them what we can do in our lives and to imitate and practice that. And so we really do. I mean, honestly, guys, Bob and I, we've got plans for your life. We've got plans for God to raise up a new generation of heroes from this little church right here that they'll hear about us in the news or something. Yeah, that we really do. We want to believe God to raise up heroes from our midst. Let's pray for that to happen. Lord Jesus, you are the God of the impossible. You tell us clearly what's too difficult for man is easily done by God. What's impossible with man is possible with God. And we want to believe you for that. We want to believe that there's a real God, the very God who raised Jesus from the dead, is the God that wants to raise our lives from living a wasted life and giving us a purpose and a drive and a reason for living. God, we want to change our world. And I think that you need to start by changing our own personal little world, our little bubble that we live in. God, invade our lives. I ask you to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so what kind of things do you guys daydream about, you know? Whether it's late at night, early in the morning, maybe you're reading a book, or maybe you're at work, and you start to daydream. What do you daydream about? Maybe you daydream about getting married for some of you who are singles. You dream about that. Maybe you dream about having a rock awesome car. And Jack is thinking, I already got that. I just go into the garage, Mahal, and there she is. But maybe you daydream about that. Maybe you daydream about doing something bold and courageous, something like totally awesome, like flying through outer space or fending off a whole mob of zombies or something. You know, you got this daydream. It's interesting. Daydreams are interesting things because we actually can control a daydream, unlike dreams at night. To my understanding, dreams at night are spawned from your subconscious. You can't really control that. But during the day, you're awake, and daydreams are more from your conscious mind. You're aware of what you're thinking about, and you can change that if you so choose. And I have this daydream. I have this odd recurring daydream. I've had it for years. I don't even really know when it started. But I know that even to this day, whenever I have some downtime, maybe my mind drifts off while reading a book or something, this daydream creeps in there. And I'd like to share it with you guys. It's not too creepy. It's like this. The daydream is almost always very similar. I'm on this hillside. You can't see beyond the crest of the hill, and there I am. I'm in this trench. I suspect I must have dug it myself. I'm in this trench, and I'm boatloaded with weapons, okay? You know, it's a little bit like that guy on Sahara, you know, and they're dropping their weapons, and he just keeps dropping them. I have all these weapons, all right? And you begin to hear the roll of tanks and an oncoming army, and they crest the hill, and I need to defend the hill. I cannot let them pass. And so, you know, I unload a hail of hot metal at them, and I start knocking these guys off, and of course I get my position eventually gets overtaken, and I'm dodging the bullets, and I'm rolling underneath tanks and kind of, you know, putting some sort of a sticky grenade on there or something, and that blows up, and I'm just causing mayhem as I single-handedly fight off this invading army. Sometimes I live through it, sometimes I don't. It just seems how the daydream wants to go at the time. But I keep having this same daydream. It's very weird. And it was interesting. I shared that with a guy once, and a few days later, he gave me Rambo 3. It's like, rats, they put it to film. But anyway, it's pretty cool. But I have this daydream all the time, and I've always wondered why. Why do I have this daydream? Why does it keep coming into my mind? And I think that what is at the core of this daydream is I want my life to make a difference. I want to do something that's beyond me, greater than me, bigger than me, better than me. I want to do something awesome with my life. I want to do something great, something that's worth doing, you know, with my life. Something that's worth living for, something worth remembering, you know, after I'm dead and gone. Something that is, honestly, it's worth dying for. That's what I want. And so this daydream rushes to mind. You know, for me, I really think that what's worth dying for is to live for a cause that's so great, that's so important, that my particular life is expendable. The cause is greater than me. If I were to die doing my part, it would be a good death. It would be living my life for something and worth giving my life for something. I believe that men who are, shall I say, fully alive, men who are fully alive are fighters. We're defenders, we're protectors of the weak. It's in our nature. And that's why I think men gravitate towards war games, whether it's video games or Warhammer 40K or whatever. We gravitate to this because it really speaks to our nature. We love these superheroes, you know, the guy that saves the day. It just speaks to our masculinity. And women aren't a whole lot different. Women that are fully alive, they long to play a crucial role in a dramatic adventure. They want to be the heroine of the fight. they don't want to necessarily have all the glory be on them or be a lone ranger, kind of do it all myself, kind of like my daydream. That's not quite where they lean. It's no, a woman's dream is that without them, the mission would not have been a success. Without them, there would have been it would have failed somehow. People would have gotten killed that otherwise wouldn't have, or hurt that otherwise wouldn't have, had they not been there. And so they make a palpable difference in whatever the cause is. But here's the catch. Here's the catch. In order to become fully alive, you know, to have all of your senses awake, to really be driven to live for something greater than yourself, in order to have your dreams come true, you have to die first. Yeah, you have to die. You know, I would like to assert that without question, the greatest hero that has ever lived or ever will live is Jesus Christ. In terms of the depth of personal sacrifice, when you measure the benefit that life had for mankind, when you consider the extent of global influence, Jesus Christ is it. He's the man. And Jesus said, whoever finds his life, I believe I have it on there. Yeah, whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Can I pull it up? There she blows. Whoever finds his life, whoever finds himself, you know, whatever, whoever gets the most toys. Jesus said, you're going to lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, they're the ones that actually find life. If we can, like, step outside of our little Christian world here for a second, we'd realize that simply does not make sense. I mean, that just can't be right. It sounds so counterintuitive to everything that we feel and sense and hear and experience. I mean, come on. If you're going to find life, you got to go after it. You got to get it. You got to live it to the full. You know, buy stuff and eat lots of food and kick back and relax with a beer in your hand, because it just doesn't get any better than this. Right? That's what we hear. That's what we think. And so you hear this and it's like, well, that's fine for church, but that's not going to work in the real world. Most of us have bought into this American consumer mentality of life, is such that there's just no way that we're really honestly going to believe Jesus on this one. Lose your life? You've got to lose your life in order to experience it? Come on. Well, what I mean when I say you got to lose your life, I think what Jesus means when he says you've got to lose your life, he means that by losing your life, you are living it for other people. You're living it for what Christ lived his life for. Jesus said, follow me. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. What did Jesus do? Jesus is saying, hey, if you want to experience life, you've got to do what I did. Follow me. Live your life and lose your life for what I lived and lost my life for, and that's other people. A life worth dying for is a life lived for others so that they might find life. I believe that the greatest adventure in life is not in seeking material treasures for yourself, but storing up treasures in heaven by spending your life for others that they might have life. Let's think about it. When the Indiana Jones movie first came out, it was called The Ultimate Hero in the Ultimate Adventure. Now, what was the ultimate about it? Was it finding the Ark of the Covenant? Or was it Indiana Jones rescuing Marion from the hands of the Nazis? What was the real adventure there? What was the real heroism there? Well, how about something real? How about something that actually happened? How about the movie Schindler's List? Based on the true story of the life of Oskar Schindler. Now, if Oskar Schindler had made his millions off the war, which he was doing, and then ran off to Argentina and lived in hiding for the rest of his life, would they have made a movie off of that? Maybe, but it would not have been as successful. I mean, seriously, would that be like, well, there's a real noble guy, you know? He lived off the deaths of millions. No, what made his life worth a movie is that he gave his life for other people, that they might have life. There's nothing like the power of contrasting Oskar Schindler's life surrounded by the Jews that he had saved, that he had risked his life for, that he had lost his fortune for, compared to Amon Goeth's life as he hung by a noose with his blood money blowing away in the wind. In fact, I'd like to just pause and watch that powerful scene when Oskar Schindler comes to terms with what makes life worth living. Watch this.
It's Hebrew from the Talmud. It says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire.
Idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Gert would have bought this car. Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. He would have given me 2 for it. At least 1. He would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. Person, Stan. For this. I could have got 1 more person. And I didn't. And I didn't.
Thank you.
Time I see that, I wonder if I would have just kept the car, you know, for the gold. Do you really think that life is found in feeding yourself with every pleasure that you can imagine or manage to find or afford? You know, movies or video games or stuffing yourself with food and drink, and you think, wow, that's what life is really all about. None of those things are evil in and of themselves, but living for them. Finding your value in life, your purpose in life in them, that is. They hardly last a day and then it's gone. And even the thought of them, the memory of them is gone soon after that. I think that we'll never have an idea of what Jesus is talking about. We'll never have an idea of what it means to die to yourself or to lose your life until you choose to do it. You got to choose to walk in it. The taste of it is what's going to give this some tangible meaning to your mind, to your life. I think that you guys are kind of tasting it. You kind of have a taste of it. I'd say almost any given Sunday morning you have a taste of it, where you choose to get up and come to church rather than sleep in, that so many do, or just stay at home and get some stuff done, which so many do. But no, when you choose to say, I'm not going to do that, even though my body sure would like to, I'm going to go and I'm going to pursue God and I'm going to connect with other people and I'm going to make a difference with my life. How many times have we slept in and thought back, you know, 6 months later, boy, I sure am glad I slept in that night. Yeah, that was worth it. You know, we just don't. It just doesn't have lasting value. It's getting up crazy early in the morning to pray with friends. That's an example of dying to yourself. You know, it's starting a small group of people that you maybe don't even know them very well, but you're going to start a small group and you're going to figure out how to pursue Christ together. That'd be dying to yourself. Maybe starting a Bible study when you've never done it before, and you feel like you're doomed to fail, but you do it anyway. That's dying to yourself. Maybe it's setting aside your valuable time and money to help somebody in need. Maybe to help your mother fix up her place, fight back the weeds, paint the buildings. That's a dying to yourself. It was not easy for any of us brothers to set aside our weekend and drive all the way here, some farther than others. A sacrifice was involved in that. A dying to yourself was involved in that. Amp it up if it's somebody you don't know. Amp it up if it's somebody who'll never remember you, and yet you still lose your life for them. Interacting, just simply interacting with people who are different than you, maybe people who challenge the way you think. You don't want to be around these people because they're not on the same page as you, philosophically, religiously, politically. You'd rather avoid them. You have to die to yourself to engage in a relationship and interact with those kinds of people. That's a dying to yourself. Crying with a friend over their pain. Pain in the past, pain in the present, that's hard to do, especially for guys. We don't like to cry. That would require a dying. Walking into a hospital room where somebody had a brush with death or is slowly dying. That's hard to do. That requires a dying to yourself. Going to a funeral for someone who died too young. Rather just avoid it. I can't handle that. It takes a dying to yourself. And you know, sometimes just the thought of doing these types of things causes a fear, a resistance to just surge in your gut. You know, you can kind of feel it's like, ooh, I don't want to do that. And if you give in to that feeling, it kind of dissipates. That uncomfortable feeling will go away. Oh, I can't go because I got to do this. And all of a sudden that feeling of apprehension, it just kind of goes away. But if you overcome it and you do it anyway, you go anyway, then that feeling is actually overwhelmed. It's overwhelmed by life, by a sense of satisfaction and joy that just cannot be explained. You've got to experience it. Last night, okay? So it was about 10:30 p.m., and I'm scrambling to come up with something for a message here, and my body is aching to death after 2 days of hard manual labor, which this body's not all that used to. And here I am, I'm aching, it's 10:30 at night, I'm working on a message, I'd rather be in bed, and what happens? I get a phone call from somebody that I knew was not calling to find out what time church started. And I let it go to the answering machine. I've got a message to prepare. And Jesus tapped me on the shoulder. What? He said, Tim, if you cannot die to yourself right now in this situation, who are you to stand up on the stage tomorrow and talk about dying to yourself to everybody else? Like, seriously, Lord? Picked up the phone. We talked for about a half an hour. Guy was in need. And that's dying to yourself. Many of you guys know Mark Darling. He's a pastor of the Rock Church up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And you know the kind of life that he's lived. You know that he's a man that lays down his life for others. And there was a time way back, 2003, in fact, when this message was first written. And I wrote to him. I said, what is up with this dying to yourself stuff that you talk about all the time? And he emailed me back, and I kept that email. And this is what he said. He said, Jesus didn't come into the world to make a life for himself, but to make a life for others. Jesus sends us into the world not to make a life for ourselves, but to make a life for others. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He expects us to die for the salvation of the world. That is, that we would give our lives to propagate the message, His love to the world. Death, death, death to self, that others might live. For those of you who know Mark Darling, that's classic Mark Darling talk. And of course, he types in all caps. I don't think he knows where the uncap. I don't think he does. All of his emails are always capitalized. Like, okay, so, yeah, if you want to be a hero, guys, if you want to be a hero for God, and not just hear about somebody else being a hero, but if you want to be a hero for God, then you have something to live for, something worth dying for, and you've got to lose your life for it. You know, it just reminds me of a verse, actually, in John 12. Jesus referenced this idea perfectly in John 12, 24. He says, I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. I really like that. Just two chapters later, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And that verse, which is John 14:12, that verse, it makes my heart beat. It gives life to my bones. It drives me to do things that otherwise I wouldn't want to do. I just want to stay home and be safe and comfortable and pitter away my life. I have no idea why the natural body longs for that when it's so meaningless after it's over. This verse, this idea that seriously, I could do greater things than Jesus did when he was on the earth, and he did some pretty great things. I don't know what all that means, but I want to find out. I know that dying to myself is the means of getting there. You'll never do great heroic things for God until you die to yourself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you, God, with a sharp recognition of our brokenness and our weakness. Lord, it's just, I don't know, maybe it's this survival instinct that actually robs us of life. I don't know what it all is, the sin of the world, the selfishness of our flesh. Whatever it is, God, we want to say no to that and yes to Christ. God, we want to follow your example. God, we want to be followers of Christ. Is that not what the word Christian means? That we're followers of Christ, and you lost your life so that the world may live. May we imitate you in that, in the way that we can. We can lose our lives in little and big ways throughout every day that we live, that others might find life. The crazy thing of it all, it seems, that when we lose our life in that way, we actually find even a better life in return. It's almost like a Christ-like life comes to bear in our lives. We will bear much fruit. It's an amazing thing, God. Your word is an amazing thing. No archaic man could come up with the kinds of things that we read about in the Bible. People say, that's just the words of men. Really? Have you ever read it? No man I know of would ever come up with these kinds of words. Words that when we live them, we find that every single one of them are true. God, I pray that each and every one of us would find the words of Christ to be true. That we will lose our lives. We will die to ourselves. That others might find life. I pray, God, that would be the pattern of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.